Experience Saudi Arabia and join over 170,000 attendees in Riyadh at LEAP this March. Your free pass to join the world's most attended tech event awaits you. Just register for free at onegiantleap.com to start your journey.
Hang on one second. Hello and welcome to another edition of Dear People of Earth. I'm here this evening with a firsthand experiencer, abductee. His name is Charlie Hicks, and I spoke to him several days ago, about a week or so ago now. And we had a really long discussion about some of the things that he's experienced in his lifetime. He's an experiencer since around the age of six, and I found his story very compelling. I wanted to give you an introduction. Again, his name is Charlie Hicks. And he's going to tell you a little bit about himself here, and then we'll get right into it. So I'm going to hand the screen over to you, Charlie. You can go right ahead and give him a quick introduction of yourself and whatever you'd like to share.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. I really appreciate you having me on your podcast. I reached out to you because I really like your articles and kind of just want to get my story out there and, tell everybody what I've experienced, which has been a pretty crazy ride since I've been about 6 years old.
So let's start with, let's start at the very beginning. As you were 6 years old, you had an experience. You told me about it, but I try not to lead anybody. I'd like you to just kind of tell your story as it is. Let everyone know where it started. One of the things, you know, we can talk about this right away that, some experiencers and some abductees have this story where they feel everything is positive, is something exciting. Your story is vastly different. Your story is more along the lines of, and I don't think I'm speaking out of term, you use the term terrifying. I think it's an important thing to note as we go into this, that most of this, with the exception of a little bit of it, it seemed like, most of this was a terrifying ordeal, I guess you could say, in your words. So if you could let us know what happened at the age of six, and then we'll go on from there and we'll keep kind of plugging forward and letting everyone know. I have copious notes that I took down the other night, so I'll be asking you about a few of those as we get going. But yeah, just let everyone know where you started at six and what happened to you.
Okay, so it started when I was six. Me and my mother were living with my grandmother and my sister. We were all living together. My dad was out of the picture at that point, and it was like the end of 86, first part of 87. It was after my grandfather had passed away, which was in the first part of 86. And it was a pretty small house. It was like a three-bedroom. I was in the back bedroom, and I was asleep one night. And so the first time that I remember that it happened was I was laying in my bed and I woke up and I was basically I couldn't move. And I'm like, OK, this is scary. And this is even at that young age, this is pretty vivid in my mind. So I woke up and I couldn't move. And I like turned my head or my eyes rather a little bit this way. And I could move my head a tiny bit. But I saw there was these three odd looking, what I just referred to right after it happened as little men. They were standing in my room, and now I know this, it was grays, the typical gray that you see. It's basically the ones that were on the communion cover. They looked just like that, only they had like darker skin. And there was three of them in the room. And when I first opened my eyes, I noticed, you know, I couldn't move, and there was this blue glow that was in the room, and I had heard this in my ears, like this thumping sound, like womp, 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 womp. And that's when I focused in and I saw the three little gray standing there, and I was afraid. And I was trying to like in my head, I wanted to ask him, like, you know, why do you look so different? You know, you're scaring me, just typical things like that. But I couldn't get anything out. I couldn't say anything. And I was just laying there trying to struggle. And then the one that was on the left, and I will say, I remember the one on the left was wearing a, like this purple outfit that I didn't know as a 6 year old, but it, you know, looking back now, I know it was like a dive suit, purple, like just skin tight dive suit. And the others were wearing like a black colored one, and it was dark. And so the one on the left, like, raised its hand up like this. And then I just felt this weird feeling and this surge and this big pulse of light. And the next thing I knew, I was waking up, and it was morning. And that was pretty much the end of the first one. And so wake up, it's morning. I jump up. I went and got, you know, my mother. And I was like, you know, mom, these little men were in my room last night. It was scary. And, you know, she was like, little men. And I was like, yeah, there were these little short guys with these black eyes. And she was like, oh, you just dream that. You had a nightmare or a dream. You know, just stuff that a parent will typically tell a kid. And that was pretty much the you know, the first thing that I had that happened to me.
You had made mention of TDT, which is three-digit mm-hmm. thing. So one of the things that you had talked about was they have four fingers total or three fingers total?
I saw four, and I don't know if they had a fifth digit. It might have been cupped, but like every time mm-hmm. I would see them raising a hand, it would be kind of like this.
Okay.
I couldn't see like a thumb digit.
We talked about, you know, as we moved forward in your life and you'd had other experiences. I mean, as of last time we spoke, you'd had an experience just as of 2 weeks earlier. So it seems as if you've been a lifetime traveler with these guys,
right.
These beings. And you had made mention that a lot of times when you experience something, you had very odd numbers, 222, 333, 444. Seemed like that all of the encounters when you were after the fact and you were back in, and we'll get into actual abduction in a while because I think that's incredible. But you talked about the numbers. What were the significance of the numbers that you were talking about with me?
Well, that would not come into play until much later in my life, but there's another guy that I'm good friends with on Twitter, and he knows I'm talking about this tonight. Good friend of mine, Paul Jones. He's over in the UK. Shout out to Paul. He actually approached me with that much later in my life. Now, I would the triple digit number thing. Okay. If we want to jump forward to this, that's fine. Paul approached me and jumping way ahead here when me and him hooked up on Twitter in 2020. He saw that on my ex, it said I was an experiencer, and we just one thing led from there. We started talking, and he brought up the triple digit number. It's the TDT means it was coined by Robert Hastings. It means triple digit thingy, and it's a silly sounding, you know. That sounds silly, I know, but he basically was finding out because he was experiencing this. Robert Hastings was experiencing this. With abductees, with himself, there would be a series of numbers you would find, like abductees would sometimes shock awake. I've had this happen to me. You'll like shock awake and not necessarily see grays or going through the abduction. Usually with me, it is the grays, but you'll see, like, you'll look at your phone or you'll look at your alarm clock or you'll look at a clock and it'll be either like 111, 222, 333, 444, 555. And when he told me about that, I was like, wow, okay. I can think of a lot of times over the years, the decades, where, you know, you'd have the old alarm clock by your bed and I would wake up from an abduction or I would just shock awake, have this fatigue feeling, this bad feeling, and I would see that it was the triple digit number. So it's definitely got some kind of, you know, playing with abductees. One of the things we kind of have, because we have a little research group on X, but we kind of feel like it has something to do with it's like they've kind of like maybe programmed us or something when we have these abductions to when we these numbers to like trigger us in some way. And we obviously don't know the true meaning of it, but that's kind of like a nutshell version of the triple digit numbers.
So when you were a younger man, and I know that these experiences have been going on for your entire life, like I said, you've been, seems like you're a frequent flyer since 6 years of age. We did discuss, you know, one of the things was sometimes you knew you were coming out of something, but you didn't always remember exactly what it was. And one of the things that we had talked about was an encounter that you remembered as, I believe you were a younger man, a younger kid. Might have been actually during the period of time when you were married and you're something you saw, we discussed, we went through the walls and how they seemed like if they were interdimensional in any way, shape or form, that you were actually seeing them as almost going through walls. We talked about how it seemed, I think there was three at the time that you were talking about. And one of them looked around a corner at you and looked at you, and you said it appeared as if they were looking through or actually maybe even a part of the wall, which as you know, we talked about the interdimensionality. I don't have to go deep into that here, but, you know, an interdimensional contact may look very much like that, simply because they're existing at or using a different dimension to look through. You know, we talked about the flatland type thing where for one dimension can't see the second dimension, second can't see the third, but the third can see the second, second can see the first. And it's the same with dimensions above us. So a fourth, say fourth is space time, but the fifth above that can look at all the other dimensions and interact with all those other dimensions. It felt like what you were describing was exactly that. And a lot of physicists have even talked about the fifth dimension and talked about, you know, if things are in a fifth dimension that we can't see them because, like I said, first dimension can't see the second dimension, second dimension can't see the third. Well, our third dimension, we can't see space time. We know it's there because we can interact with it, but we don't see space and time, right? So if we go up to the next level, we go up to the fifth dimension above that, we can't see that, but they can certainly see us and interact with us in that 4 and 3D space. So maybe you could give a little discussion about what you saw, you know, especially with your feelings. I know that this was a big part of it, was that it's a terrifying experience and where others have had, and I've asked and I've talked to some other folks, and there's no rhyme or reason to any one person having a good experience versus a bad experience. And I don't know what that is or why that is, but it's certainly, I think it's important to let everybody know that this is exactly what's going on. So if you could just give them an idea of what that experience was like for you. And then we'll pop in and see you go. So I'm going to cut you over here. Hang on one second.
Okay. So there've been several of those with the peaking or going through walls. So a lot of the times, I would say a huge chunk of the times that I've had the abductions, I would just, for listeners' sake, like when I would say a normal abduction, it would just be like where, you know, I wake up and I'm going through the paralysis, and usually I hear the tuning fork sound, the wom, 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 and then sometimes it'll be like a bright light strobe going off, and it's super bright in front of my eyes. And then when I'm coming to, I'll look over or I'll scan when I'm coming out of the paralysis, and I'll see the three grays. It's usually three. Again, there's been times where it's five, but there's three, and they'll either, the majority of the time, they meld back into like the wall, or two of them will disappear sometime and the other one will meld back into the wall. The peaking one you're talking about, that was like about the third one I remember when I was a kid, and I was in that same room, that back room, and you know, I'm coming out of it and I see the three guys, and then I'm focusing, and then so it'd be to my right, there was a doorway leading, of course, into the middle bedroom from this back bedroom. His back bedroom, middle bedroom was my mother's and my grandmother's room. And there was the door. And if you picture, like right through this doorway, the door to my room was always open. So in that, heading into that middle bedroom, you picture the three grays are, you know, here, like probably about 4 foot in front of the door and about 4 foot away from my bed. So they're like right here. And then you're looking at that door into my mom and grandmother's room, and then two heads were like this. So the one on the right was higher. Here's this guy. And this guy would have been almost at my mom and grandma's bed. But this guy his head is basically like right when you went outside that door, like you would be not like this much space, and then there's a wall, and on the other side's a patio. So like he would be, if you're even as a kid, I'm like, I'm recognizing this. I'm like, where would his body be? Because his head was, like right there, and they're just peering out through me, and it was just terrifying. And then I had like another, and this was actually one of the ones in about like 2020, or I think this one was either at the end of 2022 or the first part of this year, when I had one that. So I'm waking up, and my wife is stirring, and these things are doing their typical thing where they're going back into that wall right over there. They're melding back into the dresser and the TV and the wall. And then the one in the middle, it's this guy in the one in the purple suit this time is in the middle. And I don't know if they're the same one, but I'm just for context. They're going back into the wall, and this middle one pushes his head back out through the wall and is staring at me. Now that was really terrifying. All this stuff is terrifying to me, but I mean that was I get chills thinking about that one. The peeking and just the faces through the wall, man, because it makes you think it could happen at any time. And like my wife is stirring, and I'm thinking, I'm still coming out of paralysis on that one, and I'm thinking she's gonna see this and be terrified. But he like his head comes out, and then as I'm trying to get my wife's attention, she's coming up, and when I look back over, he's went back and they're gone.
Have you had any experiences? We talked about daytime experiences a little bit, in that other people had these daytime experiences, and you were kind of, hey, I'd like to have a daytime experience, and then kind of what you wished for kind of happened.
Yep. That yeah, that
What did
was a
you? Go
sorry, go
ahead.
ahead.
So
No,
you had said that that one was one of the ones that terrified you one of the most during that occurrence.
absolutely. That was the worst mistake that I ever made. There's two things that I want your listeners to understand. Number one, no matter what you've seen on TV, shows, YouTube, anything, do not try to make, this is my opinion. You're obviously free to do what you want to do. But that old phrase, the new thing that everybody's talking about, F around and find out, right? Do not try to meditate and contact these things. Do not sit and meditate and ask to interact with non-human intelligence, whatever you want to refer to it as. Do not try it. This has been following me for decades. And I had, and what I had heard about. Okay, so I'm having all these, like I've just explained these abductions, but what I had, and I from reading books, and I think it was one of Bud Hopkins' books, but I had heard and read about people, obviously, because people would say, oh, it's sleep paralysis, right? That's what we all hear is the main explanation that they want, that the skeptics want to say is the reason that we have these abduction events. Well, it's not. And so, you would hear, and I would hear of people that had daylight encounters. David Politis's, if you even know who that is, or if you follow him, Steve, or anybody else listening, Dave Politis's new movie, Missing 411, The UFO Connection, has a daylight abduction encounter in it. I recommend watching that. But I would be like, I heard about these daylight encounters, and I would be like, man, I really want to have a daylight encounter. And if I do, I've been going through this since I was a kid. I'll confront these things, and I'll tell them, hey, you got to quit doing this to me. This terrifies me. What are you doing to me? What's your purpose? I had all these questions in my mind that I would ask them. And unfortunately for me, in 2018, and we're jumping way forward here to just, like 5 years ago. But yeah, 2018, I got my wish, and I'll tell you how that happened. I was at my house that I had at the time with my ex-wife, and she had taken our kids to her mother's house for several days. I'm working, I'm staying home, so I'm at home and I'm by myself. So it was a Sunday, it was at the end of May in 2018, and I remember this day because I was like, not feeling good that day, and they had a Gold Rush white, I think it was Gold Rush Whitewater Marathon on. Anyway, I'm in the den, and it's a pretty big den, and I'm sitting in my recliner and, you know, watching the TV. So I'm sitting here, and all of a sudden I heard this voice, this horrible sounding, like metallic, I can't duplicate it, this metallic sounding voice, and it shocked me. It was about 11 o'clock, and I hear it in my head, and it's not my voice. And I'm not crazy, folks. But I heard this metallic-y sounding voice, and it said, "You will see us today." And it sounded like just, I can't even duplicate it, robotic, metallic, and it scared me. And I was like, I start knowing that something's going on. And I was like, I remember just blurting out. I said, you know, I was almost wondering if I'm going crazy. I'm like, this just happened. I know it happened. And I was like, I don't effing care. I remember saying that out loud. So I got up and I went over and I got on the couch. And I'm like laying there and I said, okay, calm down. I'm going to take a nap. So I went to sleep and I remember getting up and I had my iPhone time, and I'm looking at it as I get up, and I'm like, man, I must be losing it. But I look at the iPhone, and it was about 1:10 when I looked at it. So I went in the kitchen, got some water, the marathon's still on. So I sit down in my recliner again, and I'm sitting there. And so to my left, so this would be the TV over here. This way would be my youngest daughter's room. There was like a hallway door, and then you just go right into, so here's the door, and you just go right into her room where it is. I can perfectly see in her room where I'm sitting. About 15 feet this way is the front door. So I'm sitting there, and it's what I'm guessing it's been about 10 or 15 minutes. I had put my phone in my pocket. I'm sitting on the recliner, and all of a sudden I see movement, like out of my peripheral. And I remember the first thing that came into my head was, I just go, now what is she doing in there? And then it's like clicking, and I go, wait a minute, she's not here. She's with the kids. And then I turn, and I'm looking in this room, and I'm staring at 100% awake, no fog of the abduction. I'm 100% awake. And I'm staring at a 4.5 foot tall gray. It's got the purple jumpsuit on, communion cover, a little bit darker skin. It's a gray, and I'm seeing it. This thing that I have seen since I was 6 in these abductions, I am now fully awake, and I'm seeing something that we're told shouldn't exist. And I didn't have those questions ready in my head. The thing that went through my body is sheer terror, because the first thing that came to my mind, and I'm going to tell you what happened, everybody, my body starts reacting on its own, and I start almost like I'm doing this, and I'm going, what in the world? And I start standing up, and it's like, I'm not doing it. I don't have any control. And the first thing that's going through my brain, and I look over, and this thing is doing the hand thing, and I'm like, oh God. And in my head, it's communicating with me telepathically, and it's starting to tell me the typical stuff, the typical BS that they tell you, like, oh, don't worry, it's going to be okay. I can't duplicate the voice. It sounds horrible. But what's going through my brain is I'm not even hearing any of that. I don't even know what else it said to me after that, because all that's going through my mind is this thing's about to take me. I'm never going to see my, because it's daylight. I'm not going through any of the stuff. And this is all happening fast, but this is really what's turning through my mind. Okay. And I'm going, I'm about to be gone. This thing is going to take me. I'll never see my family again. I'll never see my kids again. I was scared to death. This is what I would say is true terror. Is this what I experienced in this moment. So I'm standing up and I'm like, I gotta get away from this thing. And so I'm trying with every ounce that I had, I'm trying to get away, and I'm starting to be able to move a little bit. And I was able to get my right leg up And when I was trying to move it forward, and at any minute I thought this thing was going to dart at me and like, or just wink me out of existence to wherever. Okay. And I got my first leg moving and I was like, I got to get to the front door. And so when I break the plane of sight, it got easier to move. And then as I touched the front door handle, it released me. So I go outside and I'm sure everybody thought I looked like an idiot because I'm out there and I'm doing this. First thing I do is I look up and obviously there's no UFO above my house and people are out in their yards, neighbors doing their typical things, kids. And I'm like, okay, I got to call somebody. And I only knew like one person to call. So I grabbed my phone. Thank God I put it in my pocket because I wasn't at that moment going back in that house. So I grabbed my phone and I look at it. So I hit the unlock button and remember it was about 1:30 when this was happening. So I grabbed my phone and when I hit the unlock button, I like almost dropped my phone because it was 4:30. It was 4:30 PM. So I was missing about 3 hours plus. I had 3 hours plus of missing time. And man, I tell you, that scared me to death.
It feels like they almost did take you. You just were maybe seeing what was happening as you were being put back as opposed to maybe being taken in of it.
Yeah, and that's what I think happened. I think what I was seeing, see, when I first got out the door, I remember thinking, I can't believe I got away. That's what I meant to say before I was telling you about pulling the phone out, because I was foolishly thought for a second that I had won that entanglement with that thing, even though I was still terrified. I thought that I had won, but when I saw that phone, I was like, oh my God. So I didn't win anything. And I think you're right, because that's what I think. When I was seeing this thing, it had already put me back or done whatever, and I was seeing the ending of it. That's what I really think.
So one of the things that we had discussed, I always check my notes as I'm talking here. So
yeah, it's fine.
Bear with me as I do that. I want to make sure that I get this right. You had that abduction that occurred. And then you were talking about other things. We talked a little bit about the hitchhiker effect, mm-hmm. where you'll experience something and maybe if somebody that you're even talking to or interact with and discuss or maybe have something to do with this phenomenon, like you said, your friend, you've had some weird occurrences, synchronicities that have occurred. Maybe you can take me through some of the synchronicities that you've found. And you even recently, the last time we spoke, you had an experience 2 weeks previous. Has anything occurred between now and then, or is that still the last time?
That's the last time. The last abduction I had, that was the last one. So the synchronicities. So this would be with my buddy Paul. I remember it was the first one that we had. Well, it was the first part of 2021. We had been talking for several months. And, you know, they're about 6 hours ahead of us. So I believe the first time that we had this synchronistic thing happen, me and my wife were in our den watching, I think it was like the third Conjuring movie had just come out. So I think that was like the first part of 21, or we were watching one of them anyway. I digress. All of a sudden, Paul had sent me a message. Well, I'll take that back. This was the night before. Paul had sent me a message, and it was at 4:44 his time. And it was a video. It was the weirdest thing. It's early morning. It was like 4:44 his time. And he sent me this video that he had just taken. He had done the shock awake thing, and there was a bird going crazy outside of his window. And I was like, man, that's crazy. You know, pitch dark. I never hear birds. I never really have. I'm not saying they don't. I'm just saying I never had heard that. So literally the next night we were watching that movie and it was like 10:44 here, which would be 4:44 his time. And we're sitting there and I kept hearing something. And then I muted the TV and I kid you not, and he'll verify this, it was a bird. And I got up and I ran to the window, and that had never happened before, never happened since. This bird was going crazy, chirping, like right outside the door. And I took video of it, but I sent it through X. I sent it through or Twitter at the time, and I no longer have that that copy unless I could scroll up back to 2021 on the timeline. I really wish they had a search function on their own messages, but that was the first crazy thing that had happened. Is it? I mean, you can't scientifically, I guess, say that it couldn't happen, but it was just weird that it happened for him at 4:44 a.m. Then the next night, it happens for me at 10:44 my time, 4:44 a.m. his time. I just thought that was pretty nuts. And then we had another one after that.
Yeah, you had come up with another one too. You said when we were in the truck.
Oh yeah, the other one was the crazy one. That was the first time. So, for the listeners going back, I had never really had any abductions, like the younger age, the teens, the 20s, where I never really had anything where I was on a ship, you know, like on a spacecraft or in a different room or. You know, other than, I mean, if you want to pick it and look back, when I was having the typical abduction, there was some times where I did feel like I was on like maybe a table or something like that. And I would have, and there was also one I had that I didn't tell you about and that I was thinking about earlier where I was like floating, but it was bright light enveloping me. That was when I was closer to 20. But most of these other ones, other than some times where I might have felt like I was on a table, it was still just a typical sound, the bright light, the flashing, and then they would put me back. So nothing that I could really say I was on like a craft or anything. But when me and Paul had been, you know, we'd been having these experiences, hitchhiker, you know, you mentioned hitchhiker. Okay, so hitchhiker, I didn't really know about the hitchhiker effect until me and Paul had started talking. But the other synchronicity that me and him had is a pretty big one. This was in, I believe it was 2022. So, no, it was a little bit before that. It was the end of 21, first part of 2022. I'm going through the motions of the abduction. And then the next thing I know, I'm like, I'm in a hallway and I'm face down. And I'm like this, picture that I'm like on my face. And I'm just, I feel this cold metal when I'm being drugged and it's smooth. And I like open my eyes and I'm being slowly drugged down a hallway of what looked like a craft or another building or place. And I look like above my shoulder and these grays are there and they have, each of them have one of my legs. And I remember I was like, F it, not again. And they stopped when I said that. And, I'm laying face down and then I start hearing this like charge build up and it was really weird. And I don't know if this has anything to do with the dimensional stuff, but like it probably does, but I'm like looking up kind of like I'm like this and I'm looking up and the hallway this in the it was all metal and it was like a dark kind of maroon purple, not black, but like really just dark maroon purple color metal. And it was cold. The floor was, I remember it was like, not freezing, but it wasn't warm. But I'm looking up and I'm seeing, it's like, it's kind of hard to describe this, but it's like you're like, look up at your, you know, a wall in your room, okay? Picture that's all this maroon, purplish, dark metal. And then from the top to bottom, it starts materializing into my hallway. And I know that because like I could see some of the art, because we're a big art, like art loving family. So I could see some of the art in the kids' hallway in there. And that starts freaking me out. And I start hearing this weird static kind of sound. And then all of a sudden it's like a charge buildup where I can actually see it on towards the ceiling. And then the next thing I know, there's this high pitch ear destroying frequency that blasts out. And then it fast forwards. I'm in the bed there. It's like almost in fast motion. And they're like, they're walking back. I set up and I immediately grab my phone and it's 4:44 my time. And I start typing Paul. I'm telling him what happened before I can even get half of my book size message that I'm sending him on Twitter. He messages me and says, you'll never believe what happened. I'm driving through the countryside. This is in the UK. Now, he's an ocean away. It's 10:44 a.m. his time. I'm still writing and I'm reading what's coming in, and it's literally, he's saying, I'm driving through the countryside. I just had a random radio station on, and this big, ear pops. This is not the exact verbiage, but it's close, like ear popping, high pitched sound come blasting out of his speakers. And it's happening. It happened at the same time that I was experiencing it. And that was the first time that we had like a synchronicity like that, where it really made me say, wow. I even remember when I was, cause like he's telling me this, and then I finish what I'm doing, and within like a minute of him sending me that, I hit the book sized message. And, we both were in amazement at that. And I'd never really studied synchronicities that much, but that one right there was, I mean, that was all the proof I would ever need of synchronicities.
So when you, after all that had occurred, and then we went into,
experience Saudi Arabia and join over 170,000 attendees in Riyadh at Leap this March. Your free pass to join the world's most attended tech event awaits you. Just register for free at onegiantleap.com to start your journey.
I know that there was one encounter where you talked about a female mm-hmm. that had more of a human look to it. One of the things that she had said when you were there, well, I don't want to say what you said. I'll let you do that. But if you could take me through your history with that, start kind of at the beginning of where you first saw that particular being, as opposed to the smaller gray ones. And then kind of take me through towards the end where she spoke what she spoke to you. And I want you to tell that part of it.
Okay. This is going to be, this is going to take me a minute. So I got to go all the way back about the woman. So I was about 10-ish when this, so I had this encounter where I'd been having the abductions going on when I'm a kid, right? I'm scared. We already talked about that. The way I would sleep is, and I still do this, believe it or not, in my 40s. I would sleep in the mornings, like with the, blanket up above my head. Basically, I'm sleeping next to the wall. This one morning, it was a Saturday morning. And, we had no entertainment, but like maybe, your Nintendo that you play. And I don't know if people out there remember when you could go to a store and rent like a video game. I remember waking up that morning. It was a Saturday morning. And I was excited because I was going to get to rent a game that day and, have a good Saturday. So I'm laying there. I got all the cover up on me like this, and I'm awake. Now I'm fully awake. And I hear footsteps coming. Hey, mom's coming to check on me. So I'm laying there, and all of a sudden at the foot of my bed, I feel this. I had this old spring mattress. So I'm laying like this, got the cover up. I'm thinking it's mom, and I was a mama's boy when I was a kid. And so, I'm laying there like this, and then creak, creak, creak. I feel the weight sit down on the bed, and I don't want her to know I'm awake because, again, I'm a kid and I'm a mama's boy. So I'm laying there, and I like close my eyes like this, and I feel like this wispy touch on my head, and I kind of got the covers like this. I pull them back a little bit. I squint, and I remember seeing blondish hair and a checkered yellow pattern type thing. I'm thinking it's mom. And now when I looked and I squinted, I didn't see face. I saw like this area, like the chest area. Still thinking it's my mom. And I go, mom. And there's silence. And then I hear the springs and I hear the weight lift off the bed. And I'm thinking, I remember what I was thinking. I was going, why is she not like answering me? So I kind of sit up in the bed like this, right? And I see this pale skin female figure type. She's in now the middle of my mom and grandma's room. I'm still thinking it's my mom. And she ducks around the corner. And it was kind of weird because she like ducks around like this again, but I'm not registering any of this stuff. And I'll tell you why in a second. But I get up out of the bed And I'm like, this is why is she not answering me? So I hollered out again, mom, and still no answer. Immediately go into that middle bedroom, and I was like, okay, she's going to hear me this time. And I screamed as loud as I could, mom. I'm talking like high-pitched scream. And so instantly, my mother and my grandmother sit up in the bed. My mom's like, what is it? And I turn my head like that. And then my sister comes out of her bedroom at the end of the hallway, and I turn my head like that. And I just like, I know I'm going, I'm collapsing. And I just like screamed out and I fell. And she's like, what is it? And I said, somebody's in the house. So we looked through the house. There's nobody in there, all the locks, the doors, et cetera, small house. So do a sweep. I didn't nobody in there. Now, when I was a kid, I was raised really religious and Christian. I used to be really religious. And so I had all this stuff for the longest time, even into my teens and 20s. I had all this stuff like broken into categories. I had like ET, paranormal, ghost, demonic, and then like cryptids and stuff, because that's pretty much all I do is this. I just study all this stuff. And so even since kid and teenage years. But anyway, I know now looking back, and if you've ever heard of Terry Lovelace Esquire, he was a former assistant attorney general. His book is called Incident at Devil's Den. Highly recommend. It's a page turner, or listen to it on like Audible or something. But he talks about in his encounter, I won't spoil it for anybody, but there's a female like entity that visits him. And I remember when I read that part of that book, I was like, wow, that blows my mind. That's like confirmation to me that yeah, what I saw, and it didn't make sense. It'd be anything paranormal. Cause with the weight I sat up, I saw a solid figure for a good number of seconds walking away from me. And I know now, and with the later encounters that I'm going to get into, I knew that was the female that I've been interacting with. And can I bring up one, if you don't mind, that ties into it, that if you don't mind? Okay, so
yeah, I didn't, by all means.
Yeah, I didn't really mention this other when I talked to you, because I was doing the nutshell, just giving you the rundown. But how this all ties together with what happened in the end, with the female. So I was already convinced by that point in my life, okay, yeah, that was the ET thing. But see, again, the abduction experiences for me were not that hallway thing was the first craft thing. And then I had a very weird abduction. It was not long after that one. And I came to, and I was in this room. It was green outside, like I'm talking grass and stuff, but we were in this elevated room, like on top of this rock outcrop. And when I look out, I remember, and I was in the abduction mindset. I'm awake during this. I look out and I see this, like, it doesn't even look like Earth. And I don't know if they're just showing me this in this is like a vision in this abduction or what, but I'm looking out and it's like floating rock structures, and I look way down there and there's like this grass area, and it was very strange. And I look in the room and I see two figures standing down at like the end of the room, and I look over and there's this sealed door, or what looks like a door, and I go down and I'm talking to them. Now see, these things know, because they're in your brain, they know that I'm terrified of the grays, and I was terrified still at this time of even seeing them again. And so, you know, I approach them, and they look like two people that I was very close to. And now that sounds weird, but when they turn around and they're looking at me, I know it's not these people, obviously, because I'm in a different place. I know what's happening. I'm in an abduction experience. And they like turn around like this, and they're holding what looks like a baby wrapped up. And they're even, the woman is even doing this, and they got this just creepiest smile on their face. Okay. And I'm like, all right, I already know what's going on. I said, you're appearing to me this way because of, you know, that I'm terrified, correct? And in my, you know, it's all telepathy. And and not the exact verbiage, but it was something like, oh, you got it pretty quickly, something like that. And I was like, what is this supposed to tell me? And she was like, don't you remember? And I said, I don't know what I'm supposed to remember. And so, and the man, there's it's male and female, you know, appearing to me like cloaked or whatever you want to call it, disguised as something else. He's not saying anything, just sitting there with this evil looking grin. And she's like, come on, you have to remember, right? And so I'm like, no, I don't. So all of a sudden I hear this door that I saw that was sealed opening, and I turn around and I look, and all of these, and I start walking over to it, and all these people are flooding in. Some I know, there's one that I know definitely worked with me, ton of people that I don't recognize, and they're all just single file coming through that door that leads outside. They're coming single file and they're going into that room. And in that room, plays later, you'll remember me telling you about this, there's this cube structure in there that I can kind of see dimly lit. And I'm still not knowing what this is supposed to tell me. I'm thinking, okay, are these other people that are being abducted while I'm being abducted? What is going on? They're all filing through, filing past me. Some look weird. Some look like they're in period costume. They're all just, you know, plowing through there. And then Paul Jones comes by. Now, I asked him about this, and he doesn't have a memory of this event happening, but it was, he walks by and he turns and looks at me, and he stops and the line stops and he's staring at me, and then he turns and he goes into the room. And then when the last person goes in, I don't know how many people it was a lot, the door closes. And I'm sitting there trying to, I'm like, what am I supposed to know? And I go back over to her, and she starts unwrapping the baby, and it's not a baby, it's a black cube. And I'm like, what am I supposed to remember? And she was like, you don't remember. And then she touches my head, and I get blasted back through like the light and everything. And then I'm like waking up again in my bed, and I look over, and the grays are melding back into the wall. And that was very weird. And then getting back to the female you're mentioning, which I think that was her just like disguised. I had another, this is going to be like early 2023 this year. I had an abduction happen, and I wake up and I'm in, or I've come to, not really wake up. And you know, when you have one of these abductions, they always have control of you. And I want everybody to know that. You're always in a little bit of a fog. Not the daylight encounter that I had when I was in my own house, but when you're in their territory, and they could put you in it, I'm convinced of that, they could put you in this brain fog at any point. But when I have these abductions, it's like you're 85% there. And it's less so when you're coming out of it and you're like paralyzed. But when I was there in this room, did you need to ask me something?
No. I just, every so often I'll switch so that people can have a little visual.
Yeah, cool.
Difference.
Okay. Yeah. I like that. That's cool. So anyway, when I'm in this room, like when I was in that room, whenever I've been with these things, it's like you're 80-85% there. You're way more away, or, you know, alert, if that makes sense, than when you're coming out of it. So I'm in this room, and we've been having some kind of conversation, but the point that I pop into it, I'm just standing there, and there's grays, and they have this cloaked hood over, like a cloak, but I can see this. I know they're grays. There's a lot of them in there. And I'm kind of like surveying where I'm at. And I'm like, okay, same color metal as when I was dragged through the hallway. There's like a desk type thing, like right over here in front of me. And I'm standing there, and there's a, and it's, it turns out being the woman, but she's got a cloak on at this point, just like them. And she, and I shut my eyes like this, I remember, and I'm like, man, I don't want to see this. And I'm like looking around like this. I got like one eye, and I can see these structures, these like cube, these weird, it's just so weird to describe, but they're like these cubes. I don't know exactly how high they are, but they meet the floor and they meet the ceiling, probably 15-ish, maybe a little bit more tall. And there's more. I would later find out there's like nine, but at this first one, I'm just like looking around and I see there's one white one over here that stands out. The rest are about the same color as that. I don't know what those are. I'm thinking structural, just trying to get everything I can about the environment. And and I forgot to tell you, when I first brought this up, there was like what looked like almost like a table with like a covered body on it. And so I'm looking at that. I see that freaks me out. And then I turn him back towards where all the grays and this other cloaked figure is. And I just go like this. And, you know, she talks in my head. She's already in my head. When you're around them, they're in your head. And she goes, you know, you can look at us. I can take this. It's not exact verbiage, but she's like, you can look at us. And I said, look, you're in my head. You know that I do not want to look at these grays. I don't want to look at this. I don't even think I can look at you. I do not want to look at you. I don't even know why I'm here. I do not know what I'm doing here. Why have you been doing this to me my entire life? Why have I been terrified? Why am I in my 40s and can't go to sleep at night sometimes? Because I feel like I'm going to be taken, or I feel like something's going to happen to me, or one of your guys. Talking about the grays, and I'm being kind of like, you know, just elevating my voice with these things. I'm like, why, you know, why are you doing this? You know, what is this room? What is the, you know, the previous like experiences I've had? And I brought up the cube baby and the, you know, the building and all that stuff. And then I can tell that she's getting agitated with me, and I'm not really saying it's anger, and I'm not really saying it's just, I can't really explain it. Just when they're in your head, it's just, your brain's just telling you that something's not, she's getting agitated. And she actually had a hand on the edge of this like desk like thing. And she's actually doing the like, and she's kind of like tapping it. And that's immediately, cause like these other grays, they're just standing there like you take a, you would take like a, like you would see, and I'm not saying they're like this, but like you would on the old Star Trek Next Generation, you would see the Borgs plugged into their face. They're just, you know, like standing this with their hands by their side. So they're like, not even like acting like they're active, but she's like, I can tell she's getting irritated to me. At least that's what it seemed like. She tells me in my head, after I'm done with my rant about why all this stuff has been happening, it seemed like she was just like, come on. That's she said, and man, it stands out so clear in my head. She said, because I'm like, I was telling her, I don't know why this is happening. I don't understand all this stuff over my whole life, the decades. And I said, you know, you've been messing with me since I was six. And the thing that came to my head was, no, and it's her voice. She's like, and her voice does not have that metallic sound. Her voice is sound, it sounds almost like, this is going to sound stupid to people, and I think they do it to calm us down. She sounded like, the voice was almost like Galadriel, if you're a Lord of the Rings fan. It was something like just that kind of accent. Not exactly, but it was that kind of sound. And she said, it's been a lot more than that, many more. And I didn't understand what that meant. And then she got agitated again, and she went like, and she said, dear child, after all this time, have you learned nothing? And I was about to say something like, what do you mean? And then all of a sudden, it's like I get sucked through a light tunnel, and I'm slammed back in my bed. And I look over to that wall, and the grays go back. And that was a pretty intense one. And so right after that, and it wasn't right after, you're talking probably like a month. It was probably like, I actually have the thing on my phone. I found the screenshots of when I had actually messaged Paul. It was close to the summer of this year. And I forgot to get the exact date. It's on my phone. But anyway, it was summer of this year, 2023. Cause I told Paul about it, and he was like, what does all this mean? And I'm like, I was like, I do not know. I was like, the next time this happens, I said, Paul, I'm going to have to look. I'm going to have to face the fears. I'm going to be terrified. But I said, I'm just going to have to do it. I got to find out what's going on with this. And so it was closer. It had been at least about a month and a half, probably a month. I don't know the exact time. But I wake up again. I'm in this room, the desk room, as I call it. And same deal. They got the grays have the cloaks on, but right as I'm coming into it and we're in conversation, and it's kind of weird because you know you've been standing there and you know something's gone on, but you like come to like this, and I'm like, okay, getting my bearings, cubes, desk. I'm like, okay, I was like, look, I'm ready to look. I'm ready to talk face to face. And I was like shaking, but she pulls the hood back and she stands up. And she's probably like 5 and a half, because I'm almost 6. And she's probably like, if I'm standing up, she's probably about like right here. And so she's coming around this desk thing, and she's basically telling me like, good, or you seem like calm, more calm. And I said, look, what is it I'm missing? Like, what did you mean when you told me what you told me? Like, what are you trying to show me? And so she starts walking over to where the cube is. And now, people listening, this is when, on my journey that I've been on, I never expected to be given the information that I'm about to tell you about. And I still don't. I mean, it still blows my mind. And we can talk about it, Steve. But she starts walking towards one of these cubes. The gray guys, they're still in their, you know, not doing anything mode. And so she goes over to this cube, and I'm standing there, and she takes her hand, and she does this. She does like a waving motion to it. And on her, I see, I don't know if I said this when we talked, I see a hand on her hands, 5-digit. She looks like, and I forgot to do the description. It's definitely, I feel it's definitely the woman that I saw as a kid. She's got this sporadic blonde hair. It's not like a full body of blonde hair like you're probably thinking. And she has eyes. She doesn't have the black almond lens cover things. She's got bigger than our eyes, and they were like a greenish color, but they're like bigger. And she looks like literally if you took a gray and a person, and it's like they had a kid. She looks like this hybrid thing. She has more facial, like the grays, they don't really have facial movement or features that I've ever been able to see. They just got that slit. She's got a mouth. She's got movement. You can see like, you know, facial muscles and stuff, almost like a half smile she could make. And anyway, so she's going over to the side of this cube. I told you I'm thinking, okay, is this like structural or something? What is this? Because there's multiples of them. And I'm looking over to this way. Desk here, cubes here. She's basically telling me she's going to show me something. So she takes her hand in front of the cube and she like waves it. And all of a sudden, this like if you got your hand like this, it's basically like this is the cube. It basically goes like this and lifts up to the ceiling, and it's basically like flush with the ceiling. And I'm like, wow, that's crazy. I never would have thought that was a seam, because it's weird. You can definitely tell it's a square cube, but it kind of like melds into the floor. It's really hard to explain, but you wouldn't think that would open. Okay. And so there's about a 3-foot high. So you got the cube, the door opens, and you're looking into this room. I can kind of see into this space. And there's like about a 3.5-foot tall little, after the door opens, little metal-like divider. And then she starts approaching this, and she does something. I really didn't see if like the hand waved or whatever, thinking back. But the middle, exact middle of where this goes to the edge, you know, the cube, like a picket fence, the door just opens. And she's telling, you know, she's basically in my, she's like, come on. So I'm following her. Okay, so I go into this room. Now, immediately the first thing that I realize, okay, wow. I'm like, I even remember doing this. Like, I'm going through this little gate thing, but I'm going like, So I'm like looking in and I'm looking out and I'm seeing that freaking edge of this thing. But when you're inside the cube, it's stadium size. It's, I don't know how far back it goes, but it's huge. It's infinitely bigger inside than it was on the outside. I'm talking infinitely bigger. Can't hear you.
You were talking to me that it was almost like a TARDIS-like thing where you almost open the door and it's the inside is much, much larger than the exterior. That to me is, you know, that smacks of interdimensionality. That's what that feels like to me, is that you're actually entering something and you're entering a bigger confine within. I think one of the crazy things or one of the most incredible things you were talking about is what happens next with the things in the ceiling and the blocks. And, I won't obviously say on your behalf what it was, but that was, you know, obviously a pretty incredible thing. So, you can tell them a little bit about that and how that kind of was like, almost like the soul versus the body versus the consciousness was, again, a lot of this we're talking about with consciousness, which is a lot of what other experiencers have talked about. And it seems like there's a tacit, I guess, link between consciousness, gray beings, and what you experienced.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I never thought, because the whole time you go through NHI, ET, alien, whatever you want to call the experience, whenever you're going through this, you always want to find the answer. And if I could have gave you, like, in after the daylight encounter in 18, if I could have told you what I thought was going to be at the end of this yellow brick road of information that they're either giving us or we're falling into, I would have never led to this conclusion. In fact, I had heard, which I'll get to, people's theory on this conclusion, and I always thought it was just a bunch of, I just thought it was stupid. But obviously now I've got a different feeling. So anyway, I'm going inside this infinitely bigger room, and I'm totally shocked by that. And I'm almost missing what she's telling me and want me to go. I just want to look. And so for everybody, picture like right behind me here would be, you know, that's the exit. So I'm right there at this where the big space begins. So I go forward, and the only way I can describe this is there's pathways through here. It's dimly lit, and it's almost like there's a fog, and I don't know what that's from or a mist, but it's not like moisture, but it's like in the air in here. And there's no, amazing thing about this, because it is beautiful what I was shown. But you can't really tell where the light source is coming from. It's not like you have a light bulb that you look up to and almost get blinded looking at. The light is like just there, and it's dimly, dimly lit. But what I can see is, and it's everywhere, there's these like raised beds. So like the floor, it's all seamless too. But like coming out of the floor, and there's pathways all through this big room. But there's these little raised beds on the floor. Okay. And there's a right above it, and the ceiling, like if you look back where the ceiling or where the top of this cube entrance is, the ceiling goes a little higher than even what that is. So it's higher in there and infinitely bigger. But so you have this little raised protrusion out of the floor. You have this raised protrusion coming out of the ceiling, and there's this gold looking wire thread. I'm not saying it's made out of gold, but it looks like gold. If you took gold and made gold wiring out of gold itself, that's what it looks like. And there's thousands that I can see, if not maybe 100,000, maybe even a million. I don't know. It's just, I can't even see the other side of this room. So God only knows how big that room is. Maybe one day I'll get shown more of that. But anyway, so you have these raised beds, slope like this, wire comes up, goes all the way to the same thing at the ceiling, probably about this, that much between each wire. And so we're going in there, and I'm like, what in the world is this? What is she showing me? And so she's basically, I'm like, what are you showing me? And she's in my head, and she goes, She says, "You, I'm showing you." And I said, "You're showing me what?" She said, "I'm showing you, you." And I don't know. I don't really know what's going on, but I'm starting to get a feeling. And I go towards her and she goes over to, we take like a little, you know, we go down the path and then we like go over. And she takes me over to one of these things of wires, you know, these gold wires. And again, they're everywhere with all these paths in between them. She goes, "This is you." And she goes over to like one of the, it's probably about like 8 or 9, I didn't count because I was in so much shock from the start of this bed down. She goes, "This is you." And she's got her finger on this string. And I said, "What is this?" And she said, "Well," and it's like she's thinking. She said, "Well, in your language, it would be called, you would call this the threads of fate." Threads of fate. And I'm going, wait, she's showing me, threads of fate. I said, and she could tell I was getting upset and kind of like sick feeling. And I said, the first thing that came out of my mind was, I said, "This is a simulation." I said, "This isn't real. What we're seeing isn't real, right? We're in some kind of simulation." And she was basically like agreeing with me, disagreeing with me. And I go, "Oh my God, I'm not real." And she said, "No, you're real." She said, "This is you. This is your thread of fate." And she plucked it. And instantly when she plucked it like a harp string, this whole room like echoed with this sound from her just pulling this one string. And it was beautiful sounding. But what it was, it was this sound that went womp, 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 womp. It was that abduction sound that I've been hearing since I was a kid. And it's like, I mean, it was beautiful sounding and it just echoes through this room. And then it slowly, slowly like dies down. And one thing that I had basically noticed when I'm looking around was every now and again, I would see this blue like light or whatever, orb if you want to call it, but it's small and it's on the wire itself and it shoots up into like the ceiling. And I said something to the, and this, folks, you got to understand this emotion that was coming into me right now. I had everything going through my head and I was like, but we're not, all of us are not real. I was like, "We're not living." And she was like, "No, you're real." And she kept emphasizing that. And I'm thinking simulation, but she's saying, "No, you're real. You are real. Your soul is real. You are alive." And it's blowing my mind. And I'm like, "What is our purpose?" And she was like, "You live your life and you weave your thread of fate." And so, and she's, what I'm getting from her, because she knows it's overwhelming, is, and as crazy as this may sound, apparently what this means is we are to like live our life. And then I start noticing these lights and I'm thinking, you know what, that's the soul. But you know what, when you're thinking something, when they're in your head, they know what you're thinking. And I'm basically getting that if what she's telling me is real and truthful, if she's being honest with me, we're supposed to like getting to the next level, call it the fifth dimension, call it whatever you want to do. Are we in the fifth dimension in that room? Whatever. Getting to the next level is going through that machine and wherever that light's going, that is you making it to the next level. And when she had told me earlier about all the, like when I said, since I was 6 years old, and she was telling me, no, it's been a lot longer than that. We didn't really touch on this the other night, but she comes over to me and touching my head. She touches my head. Now this is going to sound crazy if it doesn't already sound crazy, right? But she touches my head and she's giving me this like vision and I'm seeing it like point of view. And it's like Vikings. I'm like a Viking in this vision that she's given me. And we're on, and there's a bunch of us and we're on this ship and it like get to the nutshell version of it. This ship crashes and we're all on the shore and this diamond object appears and it's like that and it lands and it's her and a bunch of other different people that look like her and some grays coming out. And apparently that was in this whole story where I first started weaving my thread. That's, it all falls into like basically reincarnation. And I got done with that and I was blown away. And so, look, so my buddy Paul from the UK, he was there with me in that vision, but as his previous person. And she's telling me all, she tells me all this in a little bit later. But I go through that experience and I'm standing there and I'm just blown away. I am blown away. And it's now making sense. And she comes over to me and she gets right in my face and she said, and she says this now, this is not telepathy. She looks at me and she says, because in this vision that she showed me, we're a clan, we wreck. And in the nutshell version, they, when we were on this beach and just all scattered out and hurt, they come down and they're interacting with us. And she's putting in my brain the in the abduction that the reason they were doing that was to kind of like, it's like humanity was not progressing through this. And folks, it's not a machine. I'm saying that as a, it's not a computer. It's whatever you can think of that would be like that times a million, because they're so far more advanced than we are. So she's basically telling me that she's like telling me, she's like, you're some of the first ones that we've tried to awaken. And so not the first, because obviously there's been a lot more through the years and eons past. And it has something to do with that they want disclosure in this system because they're trying to accelerate the soul and humanity through this machine to get up to the next level. And I haven't been told the ultimate end game or reason of that, but she approached me and she said, and this was very powerful. She said, and she said it, she didn't use telepathy. So these hybrid things can apparently speak like we do. She looked at me and as I'm standing there just like in shock and like almost shaking, she says, Charles, the clan's coming back together. And she touches my forehead and hang on a second.
That's okay.
I have an army of Datsuns. I don't know if you can hear them.
That's sorry. Okay. I have my own little crew here.
So anyway, she came and touched my head and she looked at me and before she did, she said, Charles, the clan's coming back together. And she touches my forehead. And I'm just going to tell you, it was the craziest thing. It's point of view from my eyes, but I'm seeing it. But these, it's like a movie reel of a couple of clips. They're blasting through my brain, and I'm seeing this because I'm seeing each clip of a couple of seconds as I'm living it. Like one part I'm the Viking guy, another part I'm in a desert and I'm walking and there's wind blowing in my face like sand and I do this. Another time I'm in like peasant clothes and it's a long time, and then another time I'm standing and I look down and I've got like a Templar cross on my chest and I kind of do like this and she's standing there. I don't know what that means. And then it goes to another scene and then another scene, another scene. And then at one point I'm cutting meat like a butcher and then another meat. Another scene, I'm in a trench. Or before that one, I remember I was in like a red coat type army outfit and I raise up like this and I get shot in the head and fall back. And then another time and then another time and then another time, bam, 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 bam. And then my childhood and then bam, I'm back in the room. And then I start to say something else and she kind of gives a half smile and then puts me back. I'm back in the body and I'm waking up, grab the phone, look over, it's 4:44. And I start typing and I've got the screenshots of when I type this, I'm typing all this book to Paul as fast as I can. It took me like 12 minutes to type it and then send it to him. And that was the most powerful thing. That was the most powerful thing abduction wise that I've experienced. That really kind of like changed my whole paradigm, but it still didn't, she was being nice and all this and showing me all this stuff, but it really didn't, it didn't take away the malevolent feeling of all this. Because when you start analyzing all this, I'm going, now what happens when we go to this next level? And I was like, okay. So I started looking back at it. And I realized that I never like looked down at myself when I was in this room. I'm more focused on, excuse me. I'm more focused on what's in the room and what she's showing me. Now, if you remember when I said the first time I was in that room, there was like these tables with these look like bodies covered up with something. I think because I had a couple more after this one, and it went back to not being great. More so in the summer, pretty rapidly after that one happened. I had one where, not to make light of everything that I just told you, which is crazy, but I went, and we can discuss it. I'll let you know whatever you want to know about it. When it happened again, I'm in that same room, but I'm in a different side of it. She's talking, and I can't remember if I hear her talking it or if it's in my head, but like I'm suspended and I'm in some kind of body. And I think it's my soul that's put into like an avatar. And I think I might've even been in that one or a version of it when I was obviously being shown where, my thread, and I'm in pain. It's almost like feels like electrocution shock. And I'm there and I'm like, why is this happening? We were just talking the last time. What's going on? And I look down and there's a gray and he's doing whatever he is to me. And I can't really hear everything she's saying, but I hear a male voice now. And the male voice says, "That's enough. Stop it. Put him back." And then and I wake up and it's.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think, the way that you describe them, the gray beings, do you think they are pods to an extent?
Yeah.
Or do you think that they're also sentient beings in the fact that they can do their own thing? Or do you think that it's more along the lines, through your experience, do you think it's more along the lines that they're just simply doing the bidding of whatever else is there?
So I think in bits and pieces that they put in your brain, or that maybe you even share this. I mean, I've always wondered this. I almost wonder if we as humans are like on the verge of being able to do the telepathy or whatever. I know I've heard other people say this, but it's like when you have a link, they say the more powerful being can block out everything that you want to access their brain, but it's like some stuff bleeds over. I don't know. But I think that they're sentient. I think that they have, each of them has an individual conscious. I think I may be wrong about that, but I do think they're like throwaway. I think that they're, because basically what she, okay, so look, this is where it's going to get crazy again. There's grays there, right? We see grays here that we interact with. She, and these words that I'm using are like, I'm just doing it so people can understand. I'm trying to, when a higher intelligence is explaining stuff to you, I'm just trying to make it so people can understand what I'm saying. It's just like when I say, like, talk about the machine, the cubes. I left out a couple of things. She told me that there was like 9 rings. Man, I get this weird, I'm not even joking. I get this weird, and you remember I told you the first vision I had was like Viking. But I get this, it's almost weird the way that she explained it. She told me that each of these cubes, I really let this out, I should have told you about this. She basically told me that each of these cubes is controlled by what we would call like an AI god that runs this whole thing. However they have constructed this, I don't know. It's really what you would expect, technology that is that far advanced. But and then there is a ultimate AI type thing that runs all of them, these 9 realms or these 9 cubes. I think back to Viking lore and mythology, Norse mythology, about like the 9 realms and stuff with that. That's really kind of crazy. But so that the grays are in this, they obviously, I wake up, they're putting me back. She basically was telling me that like these grays are kind of like part of they're a super intelligence, obviously, but they don't the grays themselves don't come from like another like planet or whatever. They're like subservient, and they're part of like this AI system of this, call it world, universe, whatever that they've created. They're like a part of that. And she was basically getting into that when she was telling me about the others, and she's like trying to tie this into like, it's almost like they're saying they need our help, but she never said that. Talking about but they were trying to like get humanity to like hurry up. And that's why we're going to have disclosure in our world. It's like, they're wanting us to all awaken to the fact that, we're not alone. They want us to know that we're in this zoo simulation, whatever you want to call it. They want us to accelerate through and go to the next level. Now that kind of scares me.
Would you call it a true simulation, do you believe, or do you think it's more along the lines of, I don't necessarily want to go down the creationism line, but is it in your opinion, I mean, this is your experience, so just, I'm asking for your opinion here. So do you think it was like, humanity has been created, it's time for us to move on, whatever we're doing, we're not doing properly? What, I don't have the answers for that, but I'm just kind of making the connection here as you're talking about it. So
yeah.
Do you think it's along the lines of, we created you, you're not going fast enough, or you're going too fast, or you're doing this wrong, or you're doing this right? You think it's more along the lines of that, or do you believe that it's an actual, what we may not understand as simulation, as in, you know, when you put computer systems together, right? And
right.
And there's, when you get into game theory and you get into things like, creation. All right. So the reason why the Big Bang theory has been questioned a little bit lately, but also thought of as the theory behind basically a simulation, is because when you put a simulation together, that's exactly how, in the Big Bang, that's exactly how world building begins, right? So if you have a simulation, a computer simulation, you put that grain of sand in there, right? And that grain of sand then splits, all right? So that's the analogy with the Big Bang. And then things from that piece of sand or grain of sand are then, okay, in the case of the Big Bang, you're talking about, the first thing is helium, and then you've got another atom on top of that, and then it explodes and it blows and it explodes and moves from there. That's how simulations work. So that's why the first simulation theory was brought forth, because they thought, okay, so from that point of beginning, which before was nothing, because, and the reason there was nothing there is because we didn't quote unquote program it. So you have to start with a point, right? That's how the whole idea behind simulation theory came about. Do you believe that that's similar in nature to maybe on a galactic or even a universal scale, that this particular species, whichever one it is, and whichever, I don't think it's the Greys. Everything that I've heard about that particular species has always been that they're, I don't know necessarily subservient, but they are, there's not much to them as far as, they're not very kind. They're not a good species. Mm-hmm. They're not good, if you want to call them people, whatever you want to call them, they're not great. But that they have a specific job that they have to do. That's everything that I've heard. And it's also not just from my original source that I had talked with about that, but I've heard that over and over and over and over again, that they're not a good species, that they're there to do a specific job. That's it. They do their job, period, end of story, whether it's good, bad, or otherwise. They're sort of a species that is, like I said, subservient to another. Now, whether that hybrid that you're talking about is the one that's above them, or it goes higher than that, I don't particularly know. But I do know, I do know that it is a, it seems like a symbiotic relationship between the two, at least as far as I can tell. But again, I just kind of went a long way to say, what do you feel about, do you think it's an actual simulation, or do you think it's just part of a, I don't want to say a play on a grand stage, but maybe that's it. I don't know. I mean, I again, these are your experiences, so I want you to kind of tell me what your thoughts are behind it.
I could be wrong, obviously, but I think it's kind of a little bit of both. I don't think it's a play. I think it's a creation for a purpose. And how they came to that, did they simulate it like you were talking about in this, let's just call it a machine, because just so people can understand, but kind of like the layman's terms thing. But I feel like they created it and they guided us along through all these steps. I don't know what the end purpose is, though. It's what is so you get out of the machine. Because the soul is alive, and apparently the soul is very, because she did say, and I left that out again, I shouldn't let that out. She told me the soul is very powerful. The human soul is very powerful. So my thought is, I didn't get an answer to it. Is the soul like powering this this machine? Do they need soul energy? I mean, I definitely know. Okay, so a couple things. Grays, I don't think they're good. I do not think they're good. I think they're a created race that are subservient, and they do what they're told, or they do what their agenda is. And I remember reading one of your articles, and you were talking about maybe protecting the wormholes, or they could very well be doing that, or the passages of stuff on Earth. Because even though, call it a simulation, call it whatever you want to do so people can understand, but there's still things happening on this Earth. Like, we could still potentially go visit another star in this simulation. We could do anything we want. She emphasized that. We could do anything we want. They want us to get to that level. I don't know what happens when we get to whatever level they want us to do and then exit into the next level. I don't really know what's going to happen. But
would you call that dimensionality, or would you just call that game theory? Is it the next? Like, maybe, that's why I say, when I bring it up, as I say, is it a grand play? Maybe that's, is it a grand game? I don't think it's a game. Like, I'm trying to let my brain go through this and on the fly here, figure out what modality and methodology these things might be using. But it seems like there is something to the fact that they mess with humanity, because we can see that along lines. And again, like I said, you've had a bad experience where others have had good experiences. Like, what's the play here? What's the meaning behind one having an experience in a certain way, as opposed to someone having these beautiful interactions and feeling that everything is going to be great moving forward? Who's right? Who's wrong? Or is it just simply the fact that everything has its opposite?
Could be.
Black has white, good has bad, up has down. Is it just some are chosen that way, or have you ever had a feeling as to why? It just seems to me that it's a production thing, right? It's they're producing these, it's not thoughts, but they're producing these experiences upon each person differently. Mm-hmm. And that to me strikes of good versus evil. And I don't want to go down the road of angels and demons. I don't necessarily believe that in any way. This is a technological thing.
Yep.
And I believe it's a, even though I don't know if you're transported physically to these locations or if it's all done here. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I know that there's some physicists out there. I don't know if I can say this. I got to back off that. I don't want to talk about that.
Okay.
But there is, I'll say that there are some thoughts out there that these craft in general, like with the orbs and whatnot, they are controlled by mind, and not necessarily by human mind, but that they are controlled by a consciousness in general. Which I know that sounds crazy, but if you think about it, a drone is controlled by a consciousness in some places, right? It's controlled by an AI.
Right.
You know, what do we mean is the meaning of life, as far as how do you define it? Because an artificial intelligence is just that, really. We're moving towards what they'll call the singularity, which is when a machine becomes self-evident and also becomes smarter than humans. That's what AI is. So is that not a life form? So the thought process that there couldn't be this other life form out there controlling these ships. Well, humans are just about ready to do that themselves. You know, we have drones right now that are controlled by AI, and I don't know quite to the level that they are. I know that the Department of Defense, if you look into some of the things, I get all of the Department of Defense letters, emails, everything. And one of the things that they've been talking about lately, and I've been kind of paying attention to it, is turning over AI control to certain weapons systems. That would mean that a weapon system is now going to make the determination whether to fire or to not fire. That's a sticky little wicket right there. That's a scary thing to be thinking of. And if humans are doing it now, Think of what a civilization 1,000 years ahead of us. Let's just say 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, so what is life? What is simulation? What is it begs the questions to ask. If there's a civilization out there that's pulling the strings, right? Are we even real? I don't know. I don't have that question.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what I asked her. That's what I said. She said we're real. It's the soul that's alive, and it's in this thing that they've made. So one thing I want to say is I've thought about this, and I've been thinking about it since she told me. You know, what I was kind of mentioning when we spoke on the phone, she was also telling me that, like, all that she would refer to them was as the others. And so her, the hybrid, let's just call her that, whatever, the hybrid and the grays, there's definitely something else that's higher that they are all reporting to. I definitely know that, because the interactions with her, that's the ultimate goal. This other higher thing, this ultimate, because I forgot to mention this, like, it was the first time that I was in the room where I told you I was scared to look at him. Me and Paul had been talking, and we were like kind of theorizing. We were saying, okay, so could this, this is before this, the cube stuff. It was that first time that I was in the room. This is what I asked, based on what me and Paul were kind of just trying to come up with. We were like, well, you know, you have the Kardashev scale. So if something's interacting with us, it would have to be like the Type 4 civilization of this galaxy, a civilization that could utilize the energy of several galaxies or whatever. We just thought that. We were like, well, could that be it? And I was like, well, if I ever get an audience, I'll ask him. And it was however long after that, when I was in that room the first time, that was in my mind, and she was in my mind, and she was like, it's much higher than on your little scale. That's what she was referring to. So it was almost like she was telling me whatever this thing is, and I would know later, obviously, you know, through the threads of fate into the next level. It's just like whatever is in that stage past that, I think it's like higher than we can even imagine. But she also told me that, and, you know, we were going back and forth, and we were talking about the like, you know, like, what is it all? What's the end game, the simulation, all that? It's like they need us for something. But she was telling me that these other things had infiltrated. She just basically said infiltrated the system or whatever. And like, she told me that, and this may be branching off somewhere you don't want to go, I don't know, stop me. But she was basically telling me that, like, those other things, and I'll tell you, and I'm just mentioning this so I can tell you my thought. She was telling me that these other things, she said, they're trying to infiltrate the system. They're not going to be able to take over it, but they're trying to, and it's almost like they're at war with this other thing, and they're trying to infiltrate this system. So I got to think about that. They just called them the others. She told me that, and she did put in, you know, when all this interaction was going on, that, like, the poltergeist stuff that we see is these others that are trying to, like, trying to communicate as well. And that was weird to me, but.
Do you think one needs the other to communicate?
I don't know. She said it was the others. She said they're trying to infiltrate, and it's almost like they need us for something. It's almost like they're at war with these things. And she was even saying that, and it has to do with the whole awakening process. But, like, she said that the others were responsible for some of these, like, in this whole, again, just for ease of explaining, simulation, whatever you want to call it, this world they've created that we're in. That's why some of the, you know, people, I've always heard people go, man, if these things are from Zeta Reticuli or some other, you know, insert random star system, why would they come all this way and they crash? And I know I read your article and how that the person explained that to you, and that was really good. And then, but she was telling me that, like, it's kind of like they're in the system, and they'll, like, it's like if you're, and this is in the simplest of terms, you're playing a game, you have control over this world, you select with your mouse, there's like, say there's like 15 different kind of like spaceships or starships. You click on one, boom, you drag it where you want it to appear and you click the mouse and then it appears in the world. It's almost like she's saying they cause it to like appear and then crash. And then these grays that are part of this AI thing that spawn in these things, they're like throwaway. It's kind of like we were talking about the consciousness leaving. Mm-hmm. They just go to another body. So they're summoned into the world that we're in, again, in simplistic terms. They're summoned into the world. They crash. We find it. There's the dead grays inside there. That's kind of like how she was kind of explaining it to me. Don't know if it's the right thing, but that's what she was telling me.
Yeah. So I'm coming up on my time here. But is there anything else that you want to get out specifically that you think people should know?
I mean, just what I've told you. I feel like we're in this, everything that they've told me, I feel like it's true, but I always say, you know, how do you trust something that has that much power? They could tell you anything and then put you back, and then they go, ha, can you believe those dumb people believe that or whatever? So, I mean, I always say that. I always say, like, because I hear all these people that do have the good experience, and I want to real quick say, because I forgot to mention it with the others thing, what if the others are what these people are interacting with and they're having a good experience? What if the other things are the good guys in this whole scenario? I don't know. But I do want to tell everybody, don't try to have an experience. Don't try to do the meditating and summoning these things, because what you could get yourself into is a lifelong, you know, terror per se.
It's a good advice. So you know what, Charlie, I appreciate us talking. We may have to come back and revisit this again soon.
Let's do it.
But it's interesting. I'm curious to hear what I get for feedback. And I might have some more questions. Maybe we could one night do a spaces or a live stream if people have questions that they'd like to ask.
Yeah, I'd be glad but to.
Great. So everybody check the liner notes. I'll make sure that I have links for everything for you to take a look at. Also, so that if you don't mind, do you want people to look you up on X? Is that okay?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's at. Okay. Yeah, at UFO and Crypto One. And so you can, I've got my message open. You can message me. I work a job just like everybody else, but I'll get back with you as soon as I can.
Sounds like a plan. Thank you, Charlie. It's been an awesome time. I appreciate it. It's definitely an awesome story. And I look forward to talking to you again soon in the future. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
And goodbye, everybody out there. We'll talk very, very soon.
What's that sound? That's the sound of Downy Unstoppable scent beads going into your washing machine and giving your clothes freshness that lasts all day long. There it is again. It's like music to your ears, or more like music to your nose. That freshness is irresistible. Let's get a Downy Unstoppable bottle shake. And now a sniff solo. Nice. Get 6 times longer lasting freshness plus odor protection with Downy Unstoppable's in-wash scent beads.